Time to discuss some of the bigger issues facing the world at the moment with Alex Selios from The Big Smoke. G'day, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Now, there are, I imagine, for every couple, a different reason why they might, may or may not get divorced, but video games are apparently a reason why people are getting divorced these days.
So one of those games is called Fortnite, and
yes.
A lot of people will know what that is. Half of the people playing Fortnite are actually employed adults.
Okay.
So it's not kids playing it only. So it's become a huge phenomenon around the world. Now, I find it really fascinating that in the UK in the past year, 5% of divorce petitions that were filed were solely based on the game Fortnite.
I've got to say that, well, I suppose it surprises me that people are getting divorced over video games, but this Fortnite thing has become such a phenomenon. I know there's a group of guys here in the office that play it, and we're constantly seeing stories about kids that are addicted to it and just won't get off it, and parents that don't know what to do. So I imagine, given the, because I think the latest gaming figures are something like right across the gaming world, something like 40% are adults. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that. But
no, and it's not just that spouses feel ignored. So it's not a matter of, you know, their partners spending too much time playing the game and ignoring them. The other side of all of this is that it costs a lot of money to play the game. So it's, you know, there's not, it's a freemium type model, which is you do certain parts of it for free, but then you have to upgrade by paying. Now, 70% of the players that play Fortnite buy digital items. That's new outfits for characters, it's accessories, it's even what they call a battle pass, which is where you unlock certain challenges. So that adds to all of the tension. It's not just a matter of you're not spending time with me, it is, you know, the old adage used to be that a woman would buy shoes and come home and lie about, you know, where she was shopping.
Mm.
I'm imagining Fortnite tap that same sort of premise.
Yeah, yeah.
What was this $90 for spent on? And, oh, a hat for my computer game character.
I guess it really becomes like an online gambling addiction, doesn't it? Because
it's
not only
similar.
Is it just the game, but you're also losing money on it.
Yeah, you're losing money on it. You're spending money to stay involved in the game. And you're not even spending money on things that will really even enhance the game. It's stupid stuff, like outfits. I mean, like, it's just pretty crazy. So look, it's interesting, but it also goes to show the climate that we're in, where people can get so enveloped by a particular device or some sort of technology addiction that it becomes a real paramount issue for the marriage.
Speaking of technology, we've spoken in the past about self-service checkouts and the like, and now we've got this new scan and go technology that's been trialled, particularly in the eastern suburbs in Sydney. You've had a look at the algorithms that shopping centres are or supermarkets, I should say, are using to work out what we are buying and what we're not.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because, you know, a lot of people think the data is used for loyalty programs and to try to sell you more products. But in the UK, for example, some of their big supermarkets have actually linked their databases with insurance companies. So a really good example is they analyze what you buy, what you put in your basket, and make an assessment of your lifestyle. Now, that's a flawed data model, but it is what they're doing. So for a really good example, if you're someone who has a lot of sugar-free products, there is the assumption, and it's probably wrong, that you're a diabetic.
Okay.
If you're somebody who buys a lot of fresh food, there's the assumption that you cook at home, which means you are statistically less likely to make insurance claims.
Right.
So there's all of these, I guess, tiers of probability based on the products that we're buying, when we're buying them, how we're buying them, how often we're buying them, and that's where the data gets used. So the algorithms can, over time, I mean, we've seen this with Facebook, the algorithm working to determine what it thinks we will like to read.
Yep.
Same premise, but with the supermarket.
Okay, so when we think that they're collecting information on us to try and sell us more product, that's not necessarily the primary function.
I mean, data is valuable.
Yeah.
The more data a company can have on its customers, it doesn't just allow them to develop better offerings for their customers. It actually allows them to develop other revenue streams by off-selling that data. I mean, don't forget, Tinder's big money maker is the data. I remember a woman in the UK asked Tinder under the Freedom of Information Act for all the data that the app had on her.
Okay.
And they gave her over 800 pages. worth of data based on what she liked, who she was into, where she was at the time, when she was doing. And so that information is stored and it can be used.
Extraordinary. Now, this, I guess, plays into our next topic. Look, we're all being told that we spend too much time on our devices and the like. Technology is something that, well, we just can't escape it these days. But there's a theory that the digital detox is not necessarily the right thing. A lot of people are being told that they should, you know, put the phone down or get off social media for 6 months or whatever. Not necessarily the right thing.
It's not realistic. I mean, I think the idea around a digital detox, I mean, initially when it was coined a few years ago, I remember people talking about it, and the very term detox, it encourages us to think about lack or the loss of something. So for people who are trying to battle food issues, they often detox from junk food, and the whole idea is that they're only eating healthy. With technology, you can't really do the same thing because you can't dabble in technology, right? You're either using it or you're not. It's kind of like cigarettes. You're not sometimes smoking and detoxing from that. So I think the word detox is the wrong thing, and experts are saying to realize that the premise is flawed because you have to use technology as part of being in the 21st century. It's just part of our lives. You can't go to the shops without using technology. You can't pay your bills online without using technology. And I think to try to make people feel like it's a bad thing is the problem. I think that the real question that we should be actually having is how do we develop boundaries with technology?
Yeah.
And a really good example is you and I were talking before off air about turning off notifications.
Yeah, well, that was a tip that I got last week. We spoke to Hugh Van Culenberg from the Resilience Project, and he suggested that we need to teach our kids to spend less time on their devices by doing it ourselves. And it has worked. I mean, I turned off all the notifications on my phone, and I literally only check it when a couple of times a day when I need to now, rather than every time it flashes at me.
But I think the key difference is that it's not that you have to get rid of your phone or avoid technology and turn off all your Wi-Fi. It's that you're turning off the element of technology that is most distracting, and that's usually vapid social media. It's you know, there's a big difference between using your device to consume media or social media and then using the device to have a functional, effective life. So I think it's just about finding ways of how we use it. But I just think this notion of, you know, go away for a weekend without the internet or without the phone, I mean, that sounds dreadful to me. Who wants to do that?
Alex, always good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
Alex Selios from thebigsmoke.com. Make sure you check out her website, and we'll catch up with her again on the program soon.